Fans, it's great to have you back with us as we get ready for Giants baseball. A pleasure to bring on an author. His name is William J. Rycek. We call him Bill. R-Y-C-Z-E-K. He's been on our show before. And he's got a great book out, and it's called Dr. Strangelove, The Life and Times of All-Star Slugger Dick Stewart. It's put out by McFarland. And not only Dick Stewart being sort of a character and hitting home runs in the big leagues, but he is from the Bay Area as well, and was born in San Carlos, went to high school in Redwood City, and had a long major league career and an interesting major league career. So, Bill Rycek, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you, Marty. Glad to be here.
Yeah, this is Dick Stewart, of course, and I didn't realize the connection to the Bay Area. And I remember Dick Stewart being a slugger. He played in the big leagues with the Pittsburgh Pirates from 1958 through 62, then with the Red Sox, the Phillies, and, of course, the New York Mets. He had to become a Met. And then, of course, ending his career in 1969 with the Angels, 228 major league home runs for Dick Stewart. But he's mainly known as sort of a character of baseball and among many other things. So tell us about the book and why Dick Stewart for you.
Sure. And also, Mark, he wound up back in Redwood City. That's where he passed away in 2002. He went back to where he started. I found him an interesting character. I came across him. Of course, I knew of him when he was playing. But when I was researching a book on the Mets, and I said, boy, here's a guy who was just an interesting, quotable guy. And then when I started going back and finding more about him, his 66 home runs at Lincoln, Nebraska, when he became more famous than many major leaguers. He had a story in Life magazine about him. He had feature articles all over the country. And this was a Class A minor leaguer. One of the reasons being he had such a brash personality. Reporters would come out to find out who this guy was who was hitting all the home runs. And he'd tell them how great he was. And in those days, in the 50s, you remember, before social media, you were supposed to be diffident. You know, they would be modest and say, oh, shucks, you know, I'm just, having a good year, but I'm so thankful. And Stewart told him he was the greatest thing that ever came down the pike. He was going to break every record. He was going to break Babe Ruth's record. And they just ate it up.
You know, Dick Stewart, of course, played in Lincoln, Nebraska, and hit 66 home runs in 1956, just a major total and just off the record of Joe Ballman, who had the minor league record, I think, of 72. But Bill King, the late Bill King, was a broadcaster in that Western League in 1956, and he told me about Dick Stewart and the prodigious power he had. But you're right. He captured the national media, and here he was, a kid from Redwood City, from Northern California, becomes this big star before he gets to the big leagues. It's really an incredible story.
Well, he ends up in Hollywood the next year playing for the Hollywood Stars, and he met Jane Mansfield, and she said something like, how come you're getting your name in the papers more than I do? And he said, you're not hitting the home runs, baby. You know, that's the kind of thing that a minor leaguer did not say. He wound up that next year having all kinds of problems. He went from Hollywood down to Atlanta, and he wound up back in Lincoln because he would not conform. He just didn't play the way he didn't play hard, drove managers crazy.
Now, a lot of people would say he was ahead of his time. He was a good hitter, but he was an awful fielder, and this is before the DH. He was a self-promoter before social media, and he was a high strikeout man when strikeouts were considered a bad thing. Today, he would fit right into society and also right into Major League Baseball with the power he had. They could care less if you catch the ball or if you strike out.
Yeah, give him the DH, Twitter, and he'd be a star. It was considered then very bad form to boast about yourself. And when he came up, he was terrible. I interviewed a lot of his old teammates. Dick Grove, by the way, just turned 90, and Dick is still working. You know, they gave me his work number, and I said, oh, my God, you sure this is the right Dick Grove? It is. He runs a golf course out in the Pittsburgh area. But they all said, no, Dick Stewart was a great guy. We love Dick Stewart. And which it was at odds with so many of the press reports, which is that they didn't like him. And I think I figured out what happened. Is when he first came up, they hated him. because he started mouthing off about how great he was. And then he became a little more mature and he got self-deprecating humor into his act. And that was the Dick Stewart they liked. Some places they liked him. Boston, they still didn't like him.
Well, he was a good hitter. He led the American League in RBIs with Boston in 1963 and was the first man to drive in 100 runs in both leagues and the first to hit 35 or more home runs in both leagues. That's a very big achievement for him.
That is. And I was, when I came across that, I said, somebody must have done it before. But when you remember, in those days, well, I don't know if you remember way back, but players didn't change leagues that often. Not like they do now. It was fairly rare for a star to move back and forth from one league to another. And no one had ever driven in 100 runs before. Wally Pipp drove in 99. He was in 100 in the American League and 99 in the National, but no one had ever done that before.
Amazing. Dick Stewart, he was a slugger. And I remember in Fenway Park, he loved that the wall in left field. It was made for him. The other part of Dick Stewart, and I remember him as a Pittsburgh Pirate, 1960. Mazeroski hits the home run, but the truth of the matter is, if Maz doesn't hit the home run, guess who's up next?
Well, I know the answer to that, Marty. It's Dick Stewart. and I started out the book by saying how close he came to greatness. And that was an example. He had a terrible World Series. Here's a guy with a huge ego in the World Series, wants to do well. Did terribly. Got three singles, didn't field well, was on the bench for the last game. They didn't even go to him for the first pinch hitting duty. So here he is. The score is tied, bottom of the ninth. Mazeroski's leading off. Stewart goes out on deck to bat for Harvey Haddix. And he's thinking, I can make up for this whole series right now, hit the ball over the wall, and I'll be a star. And Mazeroski hit it. Stewart was left in the on-deck circle. And what he said afterward, he said a couple things. One was, he said, people came to see me hit that home run, not you, Bill. And he was kidding, but he meant it. And they were kidding Mazeroski about his wild leap around the bases, and Stewart said, you should have seen what I had planned. It was just a huge disappointment for him. And he came so close. And a lot of the reasons he didn't make it were his own fault. He was self-destructive in many ways.
But, you know, it was the glove, and, of course, the title of the book, Dr. Strange Glove, The Life and Times of All-Star Slugger Dick Stewart. I guess he's known, really, for being an awful fielder. And did he care? Did he care about his fielding?
That's what made him so noteworthy. There have been bad fielders in baseball. There's been a lot of bad fielders in baseball. But they either denied they were bad or they vowed to get better. And I've interviewed some guys who are terrible fielders. And, in fact, Frank Thomas, who was featured in this book, because Frank had a lot of run-ins with people in the book, the old pirate, the first Frank Thomas. And Frank Thomas is the only person who ever wrote a nasty letter to me after I interviewed him because I said he was a bad fielder. Frank was a terrible fielder. But Stewart didn't care. He admitted he was a bad fielder. He'd say things like, I've now gotten to the point where I can catch 2 out of 3. And he had one joke he used all the time, changed the name, is when he made a great catch of a line drive, he'd say, wow, I must be slowing down. 2 years ago, I could have gotten out of the way of that one. And he had his whole pattern, his routine about his fielding, and the managers went crazy. Because, you know, here they are, Johnny Pesky in particular, balls are going through his legs, over his head, and he's making a joke about it while they're losing their jobs.
Hmm. The title, Dr. Strangelove, now, how did that title come about? Was that a nickname that Stewart actually had?
That was his nickname, and there's some question as to how he got it. It was after the movie Dr. Strangelove, of course, and somebody said Henry Aaron gave it to him. Someone else said Bob Prince gave it to him, but Bob Prince was the Pirates announcer, and Dr. Strangelove didn't come out. Dr. Strangelove, the movie, didn't come out until 64, which time Stewart was gone. So Aaron's the best guess, but nobody really knows. Nicknames are like that. They just eventually became part of the lore.
I remember him as a Dodger, too. And I think he got to the World Series with the Dodgers in 66. And, of course, he was a New York Met. Any crazy stories about the Mets?
He wasn't with the Mets long. One thing that Stewart had going for him is that he never got hurt, hardly ever got hurt. Then when he got to the Mets, he pulled a muscle. He only lasted a couple of months. In June, he was released. And that was a shock to him because here's this egotistical guy. He was released. He was only talking about how great he was and he wanted a bigger salary. And he started getting traded for lesser and lesser players. Then he got released. And it came as a shock to him. And when he signed with the Dodgers, he was so glad to find a job. He hustled. He became a new man. Of course, it was too late. By that time, his physical skills were deteriorating. But with the Dodgers, players like him and Wes Covington, who was another noted non-team player, all of a sudden became team players. They're cheerleaders. And he got to the World Series. He again almost. He hit one really long fly ball that was caught in front of the wall, but he wasn't able to do much in that series. And then, of course, he finished up with the Angels out there.
Well, the Dodgers didn't do much after the first game against the Orioles. After about the fourth inning, they never scored again. So if he would have knocked one out in 66 in the World Series, it would have been a big deal, believe me, because the Orioles ended up shutting out the Dodgers in three games and winning that World Series in four. How did life end up for Dick Stewart?
Well, not well, one would think, but very secretively. Dick was hard to track down in his later years. Someone told me once that the biographies do not have to be linear. If they live to be 70, each year doesn't have to be 170th of the book. And most of the book is about Dick's career. He was divorced three times from two different women. He married one a second time. He was estranged from his children. He was not a good father. So it was difficult to track down the family. I was fortunate enough to get his sister-in-law, his brother's wife, who was very helpful, providing a lot of family pictures for the book, which was wonderful, and some family stories. But he would always try to hide his whereabouts. When someone called him for an old-timers game, he'd say, "I'm somewhere in the United States, but I can't tell you where because my ex-wife is looking for me." He only said anything about his ex-wife looking for him. My feeling is, he was probably afraid no one was looking for him. But he was very secretive about what he was doing, where he was. He was in Connecticut for quite a while, working for a collection company, commercial collection company. But I interviewed somebody who came across him in business. He called on him trying to get business. And Stewart was, he was kind of lazy as a ball player, and he was lazy as a business person. All he wanted to do was take clients out golfing. He never learned any business. He just wanted to get paid for being Dick Stewart. And his life, I think, was not a happy one at the end. He died of cancer and at the age of 70, and he was pretty much alone. He still kept in touch with his brother, but he never saw his children. One of his children predeceased him. I don't think it was a happy personal life. And that's one of the things I wrote about Dick, is he came across as this happy-go-lucky, fun-loving guy. And you know, was there more behind that facade? Was he really a happy guy, or was this just part of his act?
Boy, sad story, but a real good biography of Dick Stewart by Bill Rycek, R-Y-C-Z-E-K. Really a good book. Dr. Strangelove, he's known for those 66 home runs. I remember it for Lincoln of the Western League. I'll always remember that. And he was an egotist. He had a quick wit. He was great with the media. And I'm sure you had a lot of fun doing this biography. So the book is available, of course, from McFarland Press and all the local outlets where we get books, and our independent bookstore, the Book Tree up in Montclair. David, I'm sure, can get it as well. Bill, thanks for being on again. We enjoy your work, and we look forward to having you on for your next book.
Well, thank you very much, Marty. Always love to do it.
All right, very good. That is Bill Rycek, Dr. Strangelove. It's a good one. All right, more coming up, KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.